went to Jim's birthday. Jim just turned 95. It's pretty spectacular. And as I was sitting there, I was with your grandson. Is that correct? With your grandson in the kitchen area. One more time. Stepson. It's your stepson I was talking to? Okay, so I said first service, I said it was grandson. So you can ask for forgiveness in there. And so we started talking about this idea of like what Jim has gone through in 95 years. Just think about being born in the late 20s and then going through each season. You know, I look at my mom's high school annual. She graduated in like 61. And when I look at everybody in that annual looks old. I'm just telling you, it was a different picture. Everybody looked sharp. They had suits on. It was a very different time in there. From the 60s, I think about the clothes before that, of the suits and the poodle dresses and the greasers and all that kind of stuff. Please don't sing anything from the musical Grease right now. And then from there, the 60s, the flower people, the hippies, the 70s, you know, the gift of polyester, let's be honest. Everything that's once been cool is going to come back around. For everybody who ever went through that says, no, Jesus, please don't do that. Polyester was just really an interesting thing. I didn't bring this up first service, I actually had velour, which was basically like making shirts out of towels. That's a kind of a weird thing. If you're younger, you might miss that, and God bless you for missing that. I think about the 70s, also a disco. My mom had a baby blue chiffon dress. And when she came downstairs, I was like, Mom, come on, man. It's just this disco was kind of a weird season. But then, you know, we got into the 80s. And so neon, you know, just everything was super bright. I've said this before, you know, the 90s gave the world the best gift in the whole world. That's used flannel from Goodwill. You know, God bless us. You know, just that's what we're known for. And I just kept thinking about all that you have gone through, how every season you've walked through something. But then I started thinking about this idea that we're supposed to put certain things on as followers of Jesus, not just clothes, but attributes and character. And I thought about Jim and Shirley, and I thought about how many days you guys have walked through in a faithful way of finding Jesus in that day. And I don't want to say, you know, thousands of days and stuff like this, but, you know, if you're going to push to 100, God bless you, you know, times 365, you get the idea in there. So every day of finding Jesus, having an encounter with the living God, putting on Christ. This sermon series that we've been going through is talking about choosing this day. And I think about how some people who have gone through great difficulties have chosen to find Christ, put on Christ, find his attributes day in and day out. The book of Joshua, it's about the fall of the leader who followed Moses and about the people, Israel, who were following Yahweh, God. And we see this phrase that he is challenging the community of saying, choose this day who you're going to serve. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this, and it might seem evil for you. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, he's, by the way, it's a rhetorical thing. He's really not saying it is. And he's more of like pushing somebody's buttons. Sometimes people do that. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's gods of your father that you serve while you're on the other side of the flood or gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just think right in front of us is this season of time that there are so many things grabbing our attention. There are so many things that we could do. And I just want to keep restating, find Jesus in your day. Every single day. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would illuminate your word. I ask that your heart would be more important to us than anything. That what you call us into in this world of life, Lord, would be not just a little bit of life and not just eternal life. And I'm so thankful for that. But it would be life and life everlasting. It would bring us life to where we are right here. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to turn, if you will, to the book of Colossians. I'm going to be basing my message today out of Colossians chapter 3. If you have thought about going to a home group and don't know where to go and what to do, again, the connection calendar is so good to give that information. I am part of a home group that Paul and Andrea von Gaedert lead. It's the first and third Tuesday of the month, and interestingly enough, they're going through the book of Colossians. We've gone through the first two verses. We just did an introduction of it the first Tuesday of this month, and it meets here in our Welcome Center, and it's at 7 o'clock. You're more than welcome to join that. And by the way, when we get to chapter 3, you will know something. So you're not coming in there and going, oh, hey, I remember this. You know, if you stay awake during the message, that would be good. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your apps, would you turn Colossians chapter 3? I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to break this section into four different little groups. Verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. The set your heart on things above is an action step. There is a choice that you will have as you're thinking, as you're processing, as you're communicating, and you're going to have to ask the question, where does God fit into this? And what Paul, the author of Colossians, is saying is that you who have found salvation in Jesus have been raised with Christ. So because of that, choose to set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Number two, a next action step. Set your mind, not just set your heart, set your mind. By the way, in the Jewish community, this was never supposed to be compartmentalized. Love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength was just saying, love the Lord with all that you are. So verse 2, we shouldn't be surprised that he says set your hearts, but also to the people in Colossia, he's saying set your minds on things above. Not on earthly things, for you died in Christ. At that point of time, your life started over again. We call this being born again. We call this following Jesus. We're calling this salvation. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. He's encapsulating eternal things in there. But he's also saying that while Christ is pursuing you, and I believe that with everything in me, and you choose to follow him, there's an action step day in, day out. And so one of the things he says is set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above, because that's where God is. So far, so good? This is not new to Paul's language to the church. Paul wrote several different letters. We call them the epistles. We also call them Paul's letters. And he is saying something very thematic from book to book. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, for example, says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Find the positive. When I was young, went to elementary school, one of the things I always remember is we had show and tell. Show and tell after Christmas or after your birthday was the big moment. I don't know if they still do show and tell now, but there's this moment of time you bring something in there, not so much, okay. You bring something in there and it's like the big toy. You're waiting for the Millennium Falcon and all of a sudden shows in. I never got the Millennium Falcon. Please don't buy that for me. And sometimes I hear things like, oh, poor pastor, I'm old enough, I can let the Millennium Falcon go. But when I was a younger person, I was like, there are certain things. JCPenney catalog came out, went right to the Star Wars section, started circling stuff, told my mom, Santa Claus, what was going on, and was hoping for that. And so here it was. But in addition to that, besides the show and tell, everything around us was this communication, as you never guess what I got. I got this. I got that. My parents came together. My grandmother came from out of town. There was something about we talk about the things that are important to us. Well, that didn't end in elementary school. We talk about these things all the time. I just went to Microsoft the other day and had lunch with a friend over in the Commons area. And we started walking through the parking area. And in the parking area, there was just fancy car after fancy car after fancy car. And all these guys were showing their friends their new fancy car. I was like, it's just grade school all over again, right? It's like, you have no idea what I got. And rightfully so. If I had a fancy car like that, I'd probably tell you about it, show it to you in the parking lot. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 reminds us that there is an idea of finding what's valuable, finding something that's positive, speaking about those things, that it's life-giving. And I think it's still solid today. All right, let's go to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. For example, continuing with this thought, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there are no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, location, slave or freed, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, let me just say this. Paul is trying to communicate that whatever you were walking through before, when you found Christ, you became a new creation. That there was this old part of you that you can let go. The problem with the old part is it just comes back to you over and over again, right? It's just like, okay, I'm going to die to this thing, and it just keeps coming back up. And for some, different addictions, different difficulties, saying coarse words, for example, judging, you get the idea. There's a whole list there. I don't have to reread it. But there's a problem that we're like, okay, we're giving this to the Lord, and we're just not there yet. Now, you don't have to look at me and say, yes, that's me. I'm dealing with, this thing. But Paul's language is that these are the things we put to death. This is something that we should get rid of. This is something that should be taken off. And ultimately, because we are now in Christ, we should be renewed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, I want to remind you, we brought this up earlier in the sermon series, that it tells us that we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who is co-laboring, co-authoring the story of your life, your faith journey, all that you are. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Other translations, as I've brought up, says that God is the pioneer, he's the champion, he's the founder, he's the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And that's not just a one-sided thing that we have something to do. Paul's language over and over again is saying, this is really good, this is life-giving, and here's your next step. This is what you're called to do. The concept of clothes and clothing yourself in Christ sometimes seems like an interesting illustration. I want to talk about the cape, or if you will, the robe. Maybe is better. Some of you remember having bathrobes or something like this. Anytime you watch something like The Chosen or Jesus movie or something like this, you see all the disciples around there and they have like a longer coat. I was looking this morning and seeing the people who came in with longer coats, and it encapsulates them. If it's really windy, it breaks the wind. It ties it all together. In Scripture, the concept of being clothed is really this idea of being wrapped. In Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 5, it says this, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me." And the concept here is that somebody has this coat, longer coat, if you will, a robe. And inside, instead of just having a pocket, where you take the things and you put your valuable things and they're actually sewed to the top of the pocket. Or, if you will, take a separate garment inside and sew the whole patch, the whole thing, so that what's really valuable stays with them everywhere they go. Anybody lost their keys before? Anybody think, hey, that would be a really good thing to have it, you know, this patch, this pocket, this piece in there. The psalmist is actually saying something deeper than this. It's saying not only do people normally do this in their culture, he's saying you are so valuable to God that in his coat, he hems you in there. This is how he keeps you close. This is his heartbeat, who God is, who Yahweh in this situation is. And it's, to me, it's a beautiful illustration of just that God cares about us and he thinks about us that way, that is saying, hey, here's some valuable things. Besides just having a purse or a wallet or whatever you're carrying around, there's this idea that's like, this is what's valuable to you. Christ is saying, you're so valuable to me that here I'm putting you in my garment. And we cover ourselves. So let's go back to this picture of covering. Taking something off is a really good thing if it's wrong or evil or if it's doing some damage to you as an individual or the community that you're in. So when he says, put to death or rid yourself, if that's all it was, it would be incomplete. But in verse 12, he actually goes to the positive side of that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. Put this on. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. He's talking to the church. He starts the whole thing off, brothers and sisters. You'll see this throughout Scripture. And so it's not that we're just gathering and we're all like-minded. And we all, gonna risk it, we all voted the same way. Oh, groans, there it is. No, it's the reality that we are in Christ. And we might not see everything eye to eye. But it's okay. We're going to get through this together. And in fact, I really want to risk this. We're better together. We're better in a place that we're trying to figure out how to work this out. If every time I got insulted, I removed myself, I'd be on an island by myself. Period. Jimmy Island. Moats. Crocodiles, alligators, I don't know. It says, we find ourselves over and over again by Paul being encouraged to go another way, to be in community. I want to read verse 13 again. Bear with each other and forgive one another if, maybe when, any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I have a cape, a cloak, a robe at home, but it's from a costume, and it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I was going to go home and get it. They actually brought it up in our tech meeting this morning. They were like, yeah, you should go and get it. And I was like, all I'm going to do is just stand there and go, everybody knows it's Obi-Wan Kenobi cape. It doesn't look like a Jesus cape. But there's a part of this, just the picture of just like having this long draping thing and covering you, that it's not just, you know, a waistcoat. It's this idea that it's all that you are is being covered. And so when we're talking about, Lord, put this on us, we're choosing to put on these things: kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. We're in an action step. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether it be through your words, through what you're trying to proclaim, or your action, your deeds, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, again, another letter from the Apostle Paul. Talks about this gift that we have from the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against there's no law. And Paul keeps on launching us into this place of like, here are attributes of God that you should go after. These are things that we should clothe ourselves. But the truth of this is that God is doing something and you have something to do, both and. It's not just one thing. It's not just us sitting and eating bonbons and watching Netflix and binging things. There's an action step for us. Now, here's where I'm going to give a little bit of my thoughts. I'm going to go outside of Scripture. I find out what is important to God sometimes when I read with how I interpret. Now, let me just say this. As you're reading this and you're saying gentleness and long-suffering and blah, blah, blah. And as you're reading this, if something jumps out at you, I want to encourage you to listen to that because it could very well be the Holy Spirit highlighting something to you. If you're reading this and all of a sudden the word gentleness just keeps on coming up, and in fact you're reading it and it's a blah, 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 gentleness, blah, 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 and you're like, how did that happen? I didn't even read this out loud. And you hear something. By the way, the very first time that I thought that I heard something from the Lord, I was in high school. I was in the library. I decided I was going to read through the Gospels in the beginning. I sat there. I had no idea what I was reading. And all of a sudden, I came up to a list. And in the list, all of a sudden, something became bold. And I was like, this is the strange. I looked around, you know, that kind of a thing. Because I feel like the Lord is communicating to us. And sometimes we're like, this is just in our head. But the truth of it is, if he's highlighting something that's an attribute of God, attribute of the Holy Spirit, then I think we need to listen. And to ask the question, okay, what do we do next? Now, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to come up to someone who's really important to you or to your pastor and say, hey, what sin nature do you see in me that I should work on? Whoa. Like there's a part like in Scripture that says, do unto others. I don't know if I would just like, hey, tell me all of my faults and just lay them out. Word of affirmation, Jimmy, really tough. That's going to be a long-suffering day. But I do think there's a part where you can say, Holy Spirit, you know me. You know my faith journey. You know what you're doing in and through me. Is there something that you want to speak to? Now, by the way, that's a dangerous prayer. Right? Because you could hear something from somebody else and go, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Hearing it from Father God is a different thing. Hearing it from the Lord is a different thing. So I think there's a choice that we make over and over again to be clothed by God, or maybe even to be clothed in God, in Christ Jesus. So as we close this sermon series, I want to remind you about some things we talked about. So we just brought up Colossians, of this idea of taking things off and putting things on, letting things that, if you will, the old person go, and putting on these attributes of choosing this. I think it's important. Matthew chapter 16, we dialogued about a couple weeks ago, is this idea of denying yourself, that it's not just about you. It's about your family. It's about your coworkers. It's about your neighbors. It's about your friends. It's about the other people in your church. And how do you get along with them? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, choosing and making a decision to follow Jesus. But one of my favorite texts that we went through is in John chapter 9. And I want to remind you about this. It's about Jesus meeting a blind person. And as he met this man, we find out he was blind at birth. And when he encounters Jesus, Jesus heals him, restores him, gives him his sight back. And that's Jesus initiating it. Sometimes we come up to Jesus and going, look, I've been knocking on your door for a long time. I get that. C.S. Lewis one time said, saying that we found God is like saying the mouse found the cat. Look, I know God's been pursuing us. I know that biblically. I know that in my heart. I believe everything in me that he is calling out to you. But in addition to that, he chose you. This is the hardest part. In fact, in between services, I end up talking to somebody, and he goes, you know, that I know who I was before I met Jesus. And it's one of those moments where I go, and I was someone who needed Jesus. And I went, I'm in that boat. I don't know who I would have been without him. I get to say that. I believe that Jesus not only is a savior, as in a communication thing, I believe that he rescued me and restored me and saved me. With that, I could tell this man that I believe every faith bone in my body, that I can say that God loves him and pursues him, that he chose him. But here's the rub. Here's the difficult part for me. It's really hard sometimes for me to accept that myself. Anyone? You can look at somebody, you can come up here, we're going to have prayer ministry in just a moment, and you can say, I believe with everything in me that God loves you, and God loved you so much that he sent his son, and you quote John 3:16 and 3:17, and you said, this is the opportunity, and you could lead somebody to Christ. And then that same day, look in the mirror and go, I wonder if that's true about me. See, we're all working through this. We all have this moment of faith, but God is saying, I chose you. So valuable, I hemmed you in my garment. So valuable that you were someone who was rescued, who was redeemed. The thing about John chapter 9, when we're talking about this man who is healed, is that there's salvation language, and all of a sudden he has a second encounter with Jesus who pursued him. Isn't that interesting? That he comes to Jesus and he goes, tell me about this. Tell me about who this Son of God is. And Jesus says, I'm him. Literally saying, I'm the Messiah in this conversation. And he gives his life to Jesus. So it's both and. Even in John chapter 9, there's this moment where he's pursuing Jesus, but he was already healed. Can I just say it real quick? The church has an issue with this. Like, we really, like, why is this person healed? They're not perfect yet. They're not healed already. No. We're healed because we're people who need to be healed. We're saved because we're people who need to be saved. We need to be restored. Psalm chapter 40, not in my notes, but so worth bringing up, has this idea that this person, King David, who's writing the song, is like stuck in the mud. Mud and mire, muck and mire, and just miry clay in another translation. And God does the initiation of, like, all the crying that's happened. He couldn't save himself, and God restores him. He pulls him out. It says in Scripture, it says in the Psalms, like, he removes you from the clay and puts you up on a rock. That's salvation. That's being rescued. So let me close with this. I believe that God chose you and is co-writing this story that is your life. I also believe, I'm going to stretch. Some of you guys are going to go, that's not much of a stretch, Jimmy John. You say that. But I know that people process things and think things through different. But we live in response to the love that God started, that he lavished upon us. My foundational theological biblical belief is that God loved you before you were created. That he knew you. He knew who you were going to be. He loved you and cared for you before you were stuck in the mud. That he is rescuing you, but he knew you. I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, in addition to that, and let me close with this. I think it's really difficult and probably, if I'm going to be honest, impossible for you to live in Christ if you've never accepted Christ. Because then all of it becomes is just a list. You're trying to fulfill a list to be approved instead of saying thank you for paying a price that I could never pay on my own. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness, your long-suffering to me. That salvation is here, not because of anything I did, but because of who Christ is. That's a beautiful thing. But if you decide that you want to fulfill all that Christ has for you to do without accepting Christ, it's like having a car and not having any gas in it, or battery, wiper fluid, oil, engine, right? That illustration can keep going on, but you see what I'm saying. There's something so beautiful of Christ saying, look, I've done all this, here you are. Meet him, to know him. But I also know that there are probably people who you're encountering who don't know Jesus. And you have the greatest news. You have the greatest news that's ever been spoken, that Jesus loves you so much, that he cares for you, that he's called you, that he chose you, that he's rescued you. And for those who decide to start over, his new life, like resurrection life, is available today. So if you'd like to have prayer for anything, this is what we do. This is part of our service. We want to encourage you. We want to come alongside you. We want to be able to pray and minister to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if that's of interest to you, we would love to be able to do this. And if you don't want to come up front, just wave to us. We'll come to you as well. Let me pray as we close. Jesus, thank you so much for your commitment to us, Lord, as many things as we can choose to do the right thing, to choose you, Lord, I'm just so thankful that you chose us first. And because of that, because of your great love, Lord, we do choose you and we do choose your ways. And I ask right now that you would clothe us with righteousness and you would clothe us with gentleness, and the list goes on, God. Lord, may we be a people of your love and your mercy. Would you breathe life? Yeah. Would you meet us right where we are, God? Lord, I also ask right now that you would stop the lies of the enemy, the lies of that we've walked through of saying that this is who we are and it's not going to get better. And it's like hearing a song just over and over and over again spinning into our brains that we're never, ever going to do anything more or different than what we're doing. So I ask, Jesus, that your voice, your hope in us would be louder than all of the other voices, and that we would start believing and holding on to those things, Jesus. Lord, breathe life. Speak to us again and again and again in ways we can hear you. And Lord, let us see ourselves how you see us. And let us see others, Lord, as not our enemy. Especially in the church, Jesus. I ask in your name. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who is pursuing you, who is faithful without fault, who is rescuing and redeeming and restoring you. May you know that great love. May it find its way into all that you are. May you be clothed in Christ, clothed in his righteousness. Amen? Amen, amen. Bless you guys. If you'd like to have prayer for anything, we would love to be able to support you. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here today.